Bibles, please, for our next reading, which would be the 31st chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high with her rivers running round about his plants and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness, and strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him. Upon the mountains and in all the valleys, his branches are fallen and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land. And all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height. All that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So in order rightly to understand this passage, we have to understand a little bit of Bible history, right? When is Ezekiel writing? Remember that they are in captivity. And so which nation is in the ascendancy at present? That would be Babylon. And what nation has fallen under Babylon's conquering? That would be the nation of Assyria. Which nation before Babylon was the nation, the powerful nation upon the face of the earth? That would be Assyria. And so what we are understanding here is some 100 years or 150 years before this time, we have the fall of Assyria to the Babylonians. So Assyria here is mentioned then as an example to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh might content himself to look about and be tempted to say, you know, I'm a pretty mighty nation here. Got a lot of foot soldiers, a lot of horses, chariots. I've got a river that supplies. I've got good supply chain. I can keep soldiers in the field for a long time. I really don't have much to worry about from Babylon. For him to come here, he's got a long way to come. His lines of supply are going to have to be very, very far extended. Those of you who have studied military strategies and so on, you understand what caissons are and how you keep the soldiers in shoes and ammunition. You recognize where Babylon is on the other side of the Near East, right, by the river Euphrates, and how far the Euphrates is from the Nile. That's a long way, and it's going to take a lot for Nebuchadnezzar to come really all the way to Egypt. It was enough for him to get to Tyre, but now to travel all of that hypotenuse and come all the way down in the southwest as well. And so Pharaoh might be tempted. He might be tempted to think, I'm safe here. I'm not under threat from Babylon. It's too far. It's too difficult. He won't come here. And so the Lord says, tell something to the king of Egypt. Tell something to Pharaoh about Assyria. First of all, describe to him what Assyria was like. And don't you find it interesting that God uses this illustration of he was in Eden, the garden of God? In Eden, the garden of God. What does that mean? He's like one of the trees in the garden of God. Right? Because why? Because all of the kingdoms of the world are God's. He puts his arms around all of them. They're all trees that grow up in his garden to do with as he wills. And so he caused the Assyrian tree to rise up above the rest of the trees and to spread out its boughs so that it would be a shade for the other trees and to be fruitful in the forest, to overshadow, if you will, the cedars of Lebanon, to outbranch the chestnut tree, and to outshade the fir tree, and to set all of those other trees underneath the Assyrian tree. The Lord raised up Assyria. This is what the Lord is saying here. He's a tree in my garden. I have cultivated him. And when the time was right, we put the axe to the roots, and we brought him down. And when he fell, the earth shook when that tree hit the ground. So great was its fall. No one expected Assyria to fall. But I gave him into the hand of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And he fell, and his fall was great. And now, I'm going to do the same thing with Egypt. I'm going to give him into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar as well. And this is essentially what this chapter, chapter 31, is about. That God works in the kingdoms of men. Now, the interesting portion here, I think, is that there's this spot there in 13, 14, 15 or so, where the Lord says, I'm going to cause there to be a lamentation taken up for the king of Assyria, for the fall of the Assyrian nation. I'm going to cause that to happen. And that is just a fascinating thing to me, because this speaks, at least in my mind, to the understanding that the Lord is going to make a holy use out of the fall of a heathen nation, such that there would be many that would learn uprightness, that would learn of the God of Israel at that time. Remember that the Assyrians fell after they had conquered the northern kingdom and had gone home with their tail between their legs, having lost over 150,000 soldiers encamped around the city of Jerusalem. They made themselves vulnerable at that time, and then the Lord finished the job a little bit later on under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So let's remember that. Let's remember that the Lord often raises up particular kingdoms and brings other kingdoms down for the sake of the church. And so this lamentation, it's not only a carnal lamentation. It's a lamentation that is brought forth indeed because the Lord has salutary ends in mind in the movement of nations, as we said earlier on today. So after all of that, then, at the end of the chapter, very clearly, to whom art thou thus like in thy glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? And now we've changed the address. Now we're speaking to Pharaoh. You're still one of the trees in God's garden, aren't you? Egypt, you're God's nation to do with as he pleases. You're one of the trees in Eden. Yet thou shalt be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and his multitude, saith the Lord God. So Israel has nothing to fear in obeying the voice of their God and being taken captive unto Babylon, because Babylon in this day and age is the agent of God. Nebuchadnezzar, believe it or not, is doing the Lord's work in bringing down Assyria, in bringing down Egypt, and in providing for the people of God a place to go, to buy and sell, to give in marriage, to pray for the peace of the city. You ever feel like sometimes the church is in some kind of Babylonian captivity? Well, sometimes we feel that way, don't we? That we're occupied. We're in occupied lands. What do? We buy and sell homes. We raise children. We pray for the peace of the city. We call upon the name of the Lord and wait for his deliverance, don't we? All right. With that then, let's stand and continue.